A long, cold winter of heightened tensions between Israel, Iran, and the U.S. seems finally to be warming. Our partner, the New York Times, has reported economic sanctions seem to be taking their toll on the Iranian government, and direct negotiations are also seemingly calming Israeli nerves. But while Iran's international relations may be improving, the internal politics there have become more hardline on one side, at least, than ever before. That's something that caused massive protests in 2009. That's the sound of Green Movement protesters on the streets of Tehran 3 years ago. The government responded to those protests, you'll remember, with a brutal crackdown. Now, though, anti-government sentiment has morphed a little. And joining us now, Laura Secor, recently returned from Iran, where she was reporting on the country's parliamentary elections. Her piece appears in this week's New Yorker. Laura, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
First, let's talk about the whole experience of going to Iran as a reporter. How much freedom were you given?
Not very much. Now, it's always been true that reporting from Iran is constricted. We work with agencies that are supplied to us that are there as much to track our movements as they are to facilitate our access. In fact, they're really not there to facilitate our access. But this time was really something special. They had a compulsory program. We were supposed to be bused out to certain things that they wanted us to see, like their space station was one of the things that I chose off that program since I had to choose something. And that was to see their satellite, although we were told that we were there to report on the election and nothing else. Some people went to a medical institute to see stem cell research. And on the day of the election itself, they actually had us on buses going to polling stations, which they had just never done before. A contact of mine who used to be an official in the ministry that handles foreign reporters said they hadn't done this even at the height of tensions during the Iran-Iraq war, right after the revolution. He was surprised to hear that this was how they were handling the foreign press.
So did you get a chance to speak with any voters? I mean, it was parliamentary. It was the elections themselves that led to the Green Movement protest we just heard a bit of in 2009. What's the scene there now?
Well, you know, I have to say it's hard to say because our access was certainly limited, particularly to any elements from the reform movement or really to having a lot of free access to voters on the streets. On the other hand, you know, I think it would be safe to say that sentiment probably has not changed very much. The election itself that I was there to cover was among a very narrow band of hardliners. After 2009, there was one other election scheduled. That was for city councils. They actually postponed it to coincide with the next presidential in 2013. This election is the first election they've held since then. So it was a very sensitive moment in some ways for the regime because they had to sort of test the idea of the legitimacy of their elections at a time when they knew that they had some serious opposition out there in the public. So they were worried about it, I think. There was a big Get Out the Vote campaign that was based on this idea that voting was a way of showing defiance to the enemy. Now, that's language I'd heard before at Iranian elections, but this time it was really taken to a new height. And as to whether people were actually out there in the polling stations, of course, they made it very difficult for us to verify because we were on these buses and taken to the polling stations that we were expected to see. Now, even at that, the first one they took us to is one that normally is a crowded station in Tehran, and it was virtually empty when I got there. It's sort of a fool's game to try to say exactly what voter turnout is in a place that you're seeing from such a limited vantage. But I can tell you that the night before the election, the government announced that there would be 65% turnout, and the day of the election, they said that it was 64.9.
Laura Secor recently returned from a reporting trip in Iran where she was reporting on the parliamentary elections. Although things have changed since those protests in 2009, and from what we understand, as much as we can understand of what's going on in the Iranian government, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad does not actually run the country at this point. Who is running the Iranian government?
Well, that's always been true. The Iranian government is a divided system, and the supreme leader, at this point, the supreme leader is Ali Khamenei, is the person who holds most of the levers of power. The president, they used to tell me that the president held an estimated 10% of the power. And that was true when the president was Khatami, the reformer, and it's true now. Although Ahmadinejad has done a pretty good job of shoring up his power base and making the most of the power that he does have, there has been a pretty open conflict between him and the supreme leader for some time now. He tried to replace the supreme leader's picks for the foreign ministry and the intelligence ministry, a couple of ministers that the supreme leader had a real investment in, and that caused a sort of firestorm of people accusing him of not being subordinate and of attempting to replace clerics with people who were not clerics. So he's kind of fallen out of favor, and his faction is embattled. And that was one of the things that I was there to look at and try to understand.
But you felt that there is not a chance for major protests in Iran this time around?
Oh, certainly not. The atmosphere is very battened down. They've done a good job of creating enough fear and anxiety that people are not comfortable coming to the streets.
Laura Secor is the author of Election Monitor. It's a piece that appears in this week's New Yorker, just returned from that reporting trip to Iran. She's also writing a book on the democracy movement there. Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you.